Donovan is the president speaks at Charles Valley, Oklahoma, Tuesday, September 28, 1948.
Hey, my town. And now I would like to present a fellow Oklahoman, a man who will be our next United States Senator, Bob Kerr. And now I would like to present Governor Turner, who will introduce the President of the United States, Governor Roy Turner. My fellow Oklahomans and Democrats, it gives me great pleasure to present to you the President of the United States and the next President of the United States. Governor Turner and the citizens of Falls Valley. I didn't know Falls Valley had this many people in it. I've seen big crowds, and I've been received by big crowds all over the United States. But I'll tell you, this is one to write home about. Thank you very much for coming out this way. You know, it certainly is good to be in a place where you have friends. In a county represented by one of the best men who ever came to Congress, Mike Maloney. You know, it is my privilege to present Mike with a medal which said he was the best member of the House of Representatives, and I never had anything that pleased me more in my life than when I presented him with that medal. He earned it, and he deserved it. Now, I know he's going to send him back to Congress with the biggest majority he's ever had. And I want you to send Bob Kerr to the Senate. Place that old man who's been misrepresenting you there for the last 6 years. Bob is my friend, and Bob knows the democratic principles, and he lives up to them. You know him better than I do because he served you as governor. I've had a most pleasant time in this state. Your governor met me last night at Sam Rayburn's house down at Bonham, Texas. The governor and Mrs. Turner, Bob Kerr, and we had the grandest time you ever heard about at Sam's house. Sam said he was going to have a little reception. Sam's little reception turned out to be about 3,000 or 4,000 people. After we'd already spoken to three or four times that many out at the baseball park. The Wichita Valley here is one of the richest and most fertile valleys in the country, so I'm told. I don't want you to tell any of these tall corn boys in Iowa, but they tell me you raise more corn per acre down here than Iowa does. I don't know whether that's so or not. I wish somebody confirmed it. Is it true? That makes it better. A gentleman here says it's Democratic corn. I don't know whether that's liquid or in the ear. Oklahoma ought to be exceedingly proud of the contribution that it made to the winning of the last war. I was familiar with your divisions that served in World War I and in World War II. Oklahoma certainly did its share in every way possible. And that, you know, is much to your credit. As I came across this country, things certainly looked good. They looked prosperous. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to keep that prosperity going. I'm trying to keep the clock going forward and not backwards. Look at some of the things that have been happening in connection with things with which you are concerned right here. You've been menaced for years with semi-annual floods that used to cover most of your city. We are engaged now in an $11 million project of controlling floods from the Wichita watershed, the whole water on the upland through soil conservation, and through special water holders to keep the floods back. You're concerned that we must continue the farm price program. You want a price support program. You want to continue your rapid growth in the development of farm and mineral resources. The problems are important to you, and I'm sure you want people in office who see that they are taken care of. Now, the Democratic record on these issues, which face you, is clear. You know the federal help we gave to you in controlling the floods and in helping you with soil conservation. The Republicans in this last Congress tried to cut that out. You know that what Senator Bob Taft, the Republican of New Hall from the Senate, said about problems of floods in May this year. I'll give you the chapter and verse so you can read it. That's in the Congressional Record of May 17, 1948. He said, let me read you what he said. We've had floods for 160 years. Whether we do certain work this year or next year is not a vital question. Of course it's not a vital question to Taft because he doesn't live in a flooded valley. Remember that when you think about how your home used to be flooded down here. And I always remember that 2 weeks after Bob Taft said that, we had the biggest flood on the Columbia River that's ever taken place. And it washed a whole town away, down from the mouth of Columbia River, and I went and inspected that town. You know, in towns past, they used to give the president an emergency fund with which to meet emergencies, like that flood in Oregon, like the hurricane that just happened in Florida, like the hurricane that happened last year on the Gulf Coast. But you know what these Republicans did to the president's emergency fund? They wiped it out. They wiped it out because it didn't feel like they could trust this Democratic president to tell when an emergency came about. In fact, it was a direct accusation that your president didn't know how to take care of the country. But your president does know how to take care of the country because he's been through the worst 3 years that this country's ever faced. I want to get back a little bit to that price support program. There's a Republican congressman from Pennsylvania. His name's Gavin. Here's what he said about the price support program, and I think it states the Republican position very accurately. This representative said, I'm telling you right now that sooner or later you will have to discontinue the price support program, and you may as well start reconciling yourself to that fact. The sooner you stop it, the better off the country will be. Now I wonder just how well off the country would be without price support. The price support program is a parity program, which puts the farmer on exactly the same basis as labor and businessmen. It gives the farmer a fair price for his product, and it keeps the farmer from having to pay more for what he gets than for what he sells in proportion to what the rest of the things are bringing. It's the sanest approach to the farm problem that ever has been put out. And it's been successful. Because back in 1932, 123,000 farmers were kicked off their farms by mortgage foreclosures. In 1947, there were less than 800. The farm income in 1932 was about $4.5 billion. You know what it was last year? Was well over $18 billion. And the farm debt has decreased more than 50%. I want to say to you, as the farmers in this country know which side the bread is buttered on, and I believe you do, they're not going to put this Republican gang in control of the government. You know, there's a journal published in New York. It's called the Wall Street Journal. That journal isn't published in the interest of the people. It's published for the economic royalists that are terribly anxious to take over the country again. And here's an editorial comment from this Wall Street Journal dated September the 4th, after Mr. Stassen gave out his famous interview on the price support program at Albany, New York. Nevertheless, the whole import of Mr. Stassen's press conference at Albany was just what Secretary Brennan said it was. In essence, an attack on the price support program. Then the editorial goes on to say why farmers shouldn't have price support and a lot of other things. And then it says, Mr. Stassen is, in fact, proposing a far-reaching reform of the price support policy, or it doesn't make sense. and Mr. Stratton was speaking for the Republican Party when he made that statement. I've been warning the farmers all across this country that their interests are with the Democratic Party, which has always been their friend. The Democratic Party believes that there ought to be a balance between the farm and labor and the businessman, and that every one of them ought to have his fair share of this phenomenal income which this country has now. He sent Bob Kerr and Mike Maloney to the Congress. I'll be the happiest man in the world, because in another 4 years, we're going to see that this country goes on the right road. It'll be the government of and by and for the people. I want to thank all these young people for coming out here. It's a pleasure to me to see so many young people come out to see the present. It shows that they, as the future generation, are interested in the welfare of the United States. As I said back at Davis, I wish I was 14 instead of 64. And I'll tell you why. Because I think we're facing the greatest age in history. And the greatest age in history is going to be in the next 2 or 3 generations, and I'd like to see it. Of course, I won't be able to see it, but all these young people will. And I want to leave this government in such a condition that the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States will still be the greatest document in the world when these young people grow up. That's my one ambition. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this wonderful turnout. Now, I wonder how you'd like to meet my family. The First Lady. The First Lady of Oklahoma, Mrs. Turner. My daughter, Margaret.
Thank you very much.